The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The four teams were the first run by. So it's like, it's going to shake out a lot where it's going to make a little bit more sense probably by the end of the year.
I will say
that right now it just looks bananas where it's like, I just wouldn't even say that right now.
I do think like, if you're one of these
giving a first round bye to the ninth best team.
I think it's pretty clear to me, though, if you're one of these SEC teams that we're talking about that's going to be in this logjam of Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, perhaps A&M, and I guess you still have to say technically Missouri, although South Carolina needs to do the Lord's work. Just put the let's be done with that because Oklahoma couldn't get it done. I think it's very clear. You need Ohio State to put a hurting on Indiana. You are a massive Kansas Jayhawk fan this week, and I think a lot of that sorts itself out. Because I do think the ACC is in a clear spot where whoever wins the ACC title game, that's the only one they're getting in. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got Grizzlies-Lakers tonight. More to get to. We'll do it all on the list next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And all month long, Zen Sports, the newest sports book in Tennessee, has launched a brand new sweepstakes for all Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you could win a grand prize of two tickets to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports is also going to be awarding 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you earn one entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay placed. So what are you waiting for? Download the Zen Sports app, and also now, our listeners can sign up with the referral code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, and you'll receive an additional 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. So go ahead and get started today with Zen Sports. Start betting with Zen Sports. Download the app, Zen Sports. Betting just got better. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. CJ Hurd's going to join us here in about 20 minutes. We'll, of course, talk Grizz with him. Before we do that, let's get into the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. All right, Kevin, we've got the Lakers tonight. Last I saw, Lakers about a 6.5-point favorite, but we also got some good news on the injury front. We have Brandon Clark listed as questionable with left toe soreness. Also, Marcus Smart upgraded to questionable with the right ankle sprain. Historically, the way it's always played out is when you are upgraded to questionable, essentially you go through warm-ups, and as long as everything is A-OK, you will play tonight. So it's likely we will see the return of Marcus Smart tonight. But the other news that we got was Vince Williams Jr. was upgraded to doubtful. And historically, the pattern would also go as such. When you were out, you got upgraded to doubtful. You wouldn't play that night typically, but that meant you were going to see you very soon. So whether or not we see Vince on Friday, whether or not we see Vince when they return home, I think it's safe to say we will probably see Vince Williams here in the next three games. Also, Desmond Bane, G.G. Jackson, Ja Morant, Cam Spencer, all listed as out. But we have the Lakers tonight, and I'm curious, Kevin, can you have a revenge game that is the result of a revenge game? Because we said the Grizzlies-Lakers game was a revenge game for the Grizzlies. Yeah. Is tonight a Lakers revenge game?
Quite possibly it is. I mean, look, the Grizzlies going into this, they're 7-4, Lakers 6-4. These are two of the top teams that, you know, honestly, if everything goes right, they're kind of where they...
They're back-to-back in the standings. I mean, so...
Where they should be at the, you know, possibly at the end of the year, one of the teams could easily pull away and be at the top. But the Grizzlies, of course, they played once so far this season. It was last Wednesday night, as we talked about at the top of the show. It was different circumstances for sure. Especially for the Lakers, you know, it's always the team Super Bowl. But the Grizzlies winning three in a row, five of the last six, and the Lakers were on a two-game win streak as well coming in till tonight. But I think, yes, you could keep returning the favors on the revenge factors, especially, you know, in the NBA.
To me, the best thing that's happened so far for the Grizzlies is last year at this time, when they were playing shorthanded and were having to depend on the back of the bench, even when they were playing bad teams, they were falling behind. Right now, they're not falling behind. Like, to me, it's like if you would have said 7-4 after 11, I think I would have said, okay.
Can you name everybody's injury, by the way?
All right, Cam's got an ankle. Ja's got the hip dislocation. Dez has got the oblique.
Yep.
And then GG's got the foot.
GG foot. Ja.
And then so that means
Marcus Smart.
His is an ankle, but he's recovering. And then yeah.
Brandon Clark.
Vince was metatarsal, right? I think that's foot as well.
Did you get
he
Brandon
had the
Clark
stress or? Reaction. Clark is toe soreness, right?
Yep, you're up to it, man. That's it's all parts of the body. Nobody with the same type of injury right now for the Grizzlies.
So for the Lakers, I believe AD, like that's going to be the other thing, is Anthony Davis going to play tonight?
He's got foot problems and eye problems.
Correct. Jackson Hayes is out. Jalen Hood-Schifino is out. D'Angelo Russell is a game time decision. Anthony Davis is a game time decision, as is Christian Wood. I mean, it always comes back to, for me, it's like, if you really want to see the Grizzlies win, you need AD to rest that foot up. The line to me suggests that that's not the case. The line to me suggests that the Lakers will win, or that Vegas is expecting the Lakers to play Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis has presented some problems. I do think, though, in this stretch of you've got this game, Warriors, and the Nuggets upcoming, if you're still going to be without Ja Morant, which seems likely to me, Harrington is kind of operating under the assumption if we see him this month, that would be, he thinks, a win. So I will say, hearing dislocated hip, even if it's a mild dislocation, dislocated hip, week to week kind of felt like, I don't believe you. At least he didn't do the reevaluating in 4 weeks or whatever, but it's like that feels not right.
Yeah, the hip is, that's not something to mess around with. If you've known anybody with a hip problem.
Especially a point guard that is largely dependent on being an explosive athlete.
Right.
That to me seems...
Hey, quick Grizzly schedule update. They've released that the Grizz-Mavs game on December 3rd is going to be on TNT. So the Grizzlies got another national TV game coming up in just a few weeks, the December.
Does TNT still know drama?
Oh, they I think they do.
Is that still the slogan? We know drama?
Not going to know the NBA soon, unfortunately.
So to Kevin's point, right now the Grizzlies at 7-4. They're tied with the Rockets, but I think the Rockets have the tiebreaker currently, as if that matters at this point. But you're sitting at only two games back of the Suns. Now the Suns are dealing without Durant. The Thunder have finally lost multiple games. I just really think it's like if you can basically stay somewhere above 500 until Ja's return, I think you're going to be like treading water. and doing. I don't think you're going to give up that much ground.
And it's fine right now. I'm totally satisfied where they're at in the standings based off of how this season has gone. You look at injuries, you know.
Yes,
coach,
totally agree.
Coach is gone for a minute, and you're there at number six. You're also trying to readjust after what happened last season, and like I mean this team has the ability at full strength to jump to the top, I think, of the standings. But tonight, I'm not looking for a win. I don't think there's any need for you to take an afternoon nap after work, anybody. The game is probably going to be over before the end of the evening news.
All right, FanDuel Sports Network. All right, Kevin, this was announced earlier. I think it was announced basically right when the show started. Diamond Sports Group. Okay, we've had two Diamond Sports Groups today. Diamond Sports Holdings is the group that owns the Memphis Redbirds. That is a different...
They play on a diamond.
Correct. That is different.
And that's why 901FC is leaving, because they don't want to play on a
correct.
Diamond.
Correct. That's exactly it.
Right.
That checks out. Maybe the chief real estate officer heard Santa Barbara and started thinking free trips. All right, I'm in. Diamond Sports Group. This is the group that owns the Grizzlies RSNs, or the RSN networks, what used to be Bally's, once upon the group that bought Fox Sports Net from Fox.
So this group bought Fox Sports because Grizzlies games were on Fox Sports Net for the longest. They bought it. They sold the naming rights to Bally's.
Correct.
And now it's FanDuel.
Correct.
So same companies owned it. They've just sold
correct.
The naming rights.
Diamond was the one that sold it, the naming rights to Bally's. Bally's was like, we want out of this. And FanDuel said, all right, we'll take it up. It's just basically a naming rights deal. Diamond Sports Group today announced a multi-year agreement with Prime Video, enabling direct-to-consumer, DTC, local access to Diamond's FanDuel Sports Network's 16 regional sports RSNs, serving fans in 31 states. Under the terms of the agreement, FanDuel Sports Network will be available via Prime as an add-on subscription for customers living within each team's designated geographic area. Customers will be able to subscribe to and watch their local FanDuel Sports Network content, including live game and pre- and post-game programming, directly through Prime Video. Amazon will market the availability of FanDuel Sports Network content on Prime Video. Fans who watch local games through Prime Video will enjoy a seamless and customized viewing experience, as Prime Video allows them to subscribe, manage, and watch their favorite streaming services and sports content in one place. I have not seen any details on pricing. I also believe that I read yesterday that maybe it's via the FanDuel app itself they were going to start letting you buy individual games as well.
Oh, you could get... Oh,
so like, you're just like, I don't want to pay for the whole thing. I want to watch this game. It was like $5.99.
I think that is a great idea. This was that inevitable partnership with Amazon. I don't know. Did we expect it to initially be an add-on channel?
This is kind of what I thought where it was headed.
Because it makes sense for Prime to make this deal. It makes sense for Diamond. Obviously, they're losing money. They have an appearance in bankruptcy court tomorrow. So the timing of this announcement is somewhat tied into that. And it's not a lucrative business showing these regional sports teams on the current way that it is set up. So a partnership with Amazon makes sense. I puzzled a little bit on, so you can't just get on there and subscribe and we get the one for like the Houston Rockets, for instance. We have to be in the market to get it, which is like a reverse blackouting situation.
Essentially what they're saying is,
you only
George,
get the team
George,
in
help
your
me out.
Area.
Do you know? Can you watch? Can you order League Pass on Amazon Prime or whatever Prime Video? Because I've noticed that Amazon's been very clear to brand
it's because of that.
So
okay. I see what you're saying.
So if you ordered League Pass on Prime,
yeah,
you can't watch Grizzlies games because it's geo-blocked. What they're saying now is you can watch your local games via that. And this is if you don't want to use the FanDuel Sports Network app, if you don't want to subscribe via that, this is another way to do it. You can subscribe through that. My guess is the pricing is going to be the exact same. I don't know why.
It would be more or less.
I don't know why. Why would Diamond invest in the app if you could just go to Prime Video and get the same thing for less price? You know what I mean? Like, it seems to me.
It depends what the Amazon deal is.
I mean, they got the. Amazon just gave them like $100 million cash to try and help them along. It was viewed as like a bailout. I think this is what I would say is, if you're someone that's planning on watching the Grizzlies for a long time, this is probably a decent spot to get involved in Prime Video, because I think this is where this is all headed. I just think eventually it's going to be headed there without Diamond Sports, without the regional networks, because in the end, like when we were talking about the Turner, the Warner Brothers Discovery Turner deal versus Amazon, in the end, the NBA wants to be in business with Amazon. And I think what you're going to start to see is they're going to probably fully integrate like out of market stuff. Like the local broadcast, I think they're going to package this into Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, if it can't work on Amazon, I don't know how it will work, right? I did that, and I am not the regular Amazon user, as so many other people are, but Prime Video and the amount of people who do use Amazon and have the access to that is it should help.
It's been fine on Thursday Night Football. I mean, the thing that is annoying is you can't flip. Like, if you're watching the Thursday night game, if you're a one TV person, it's going to be annoying because, like, you're just locked in.
Right.
And it, like, you have to sign out or whatever. You got to go close the app to open up another app. And then every time you want to log back in, you've got to restart the broadcast. But in terms of the watching of the broadcast, I've had little to no problems. And I presume, like, this is where they're going to. It's almost like, to me, it's like, you might as well just go ahead and get used to it, because this is, I think, where leagues are headed.
But, yeah, I mean, for at least a short period of time, you're going to be able to watch FanDuel Sports Network
on Amazon Prime Video,
brought to you, of course, owned by Diamond Sports Group.
Correct.
So this is eventually maybe we'll get to one entity.
Can't wait.
It takes a village to put these games on.
Penny Hardaway. Yeah, this story from Jason Munns over at the Commercial Appeal. Penny had his media availability today. Penny Hardaway joked Wednesday that he's looked into whether LeBron James has any college eligibility left. The Memphis basketball coach's comments were made in jest, but it underscored a couple of points. First, that Hardaway is still on the lookout for a midseason roster addition. He has multiple open scholarships, including the one freed up after forward Tyreek Smith left 2 days before the season started. Quote, there might be some things in the making, Hardaway said of the Tigers, said ahead of the Tigers matchup against Ohio that will happen on Friday. We're not closing the door on that. Munns continues, but also that is anyone's guess who might be available in the transfer portal in time for Memphis to make a play. Tigers did make a midseason move last year, landing forward Naquan Tomlin, who was highly productive at times. It's unlikely that there will be a player of his caliber available this time around. Even if so, those wheels haven't necessarily been set in motion. Quote, obviously we don't know until people actually get in the portal and things of that nature. We're just looking and waiting. So there's a couple of things here. Number one, I almost wonder, like, was this just the free space on the bingo card Penny's going to add to the roster? And it was only made more so apparent when Tyreek left. Obviously, it depends on who gets in the portal, what's available to them. I just wonder, is it necessary? Because if you can get a difference maker, sure. But isn't this just shopping in the bargain bin?
Well,
I guess if you want to add some front court depth, right? I mean, just really worry. Like, chemistry has been such a big deal with his teams. And this team, to me, shows early promises of having decent chemistry. Are we really just going to add something just to be like, we need another big?
Well, I mean, you know, there's how many coaches have gotten out of the game recently, as very recently as right before the start of the season over there in Virginia. It's a new way. I don't think people or Penny or any of coaches really know what's the right move now under the way that things are. Like, yes, you could look at reasons it's not great to bring in a player.
I guess the argument would be
unless you're the best team in the country.
They would probably counter my point with, because we believe we have a team with good culture, we can add something late, and either they buy in or they don't.
Sure, yeah.
Which I always push back on. It's like, any other coach, I can buy that. But Penny has a big belief of, when he brings guys in, he plays them, even if it doesn't really, it's almost like force feeding.
Yeah. No, I agree. We'll see. I mean, if he brings it's hard to keep up with it. To me, I hear this type of quote, I'm like, this is what's broken still about. And it's not, I know it's best for the players. It's best for the players, this type of situation, but there's got to be some type of correction of all this movement that we've had.
Yeah. And so that gets us to Diego Pavia. So this is what I actually think has the chance to be an interesting development if this were to happen. So this is from Mark Schlabach of ESPN. A federal judge on Tuesday denied Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia's request for a temporary restraining order, we know all about those, that would grant him another year of eligibility, but did not close the matter entirely. Pavia sued the NCAA in federal court Friday in Nashville, arguing that his two seasons playing at junior college shouldn't count towards his Division I eligibility since he was unable to profit from his name, image, and likeness during that time. Pavia's attorneys argued that Pavia would suffer immediate irreparable harm without relief from the court because the transfer portal opens on December 9th and that waiting even one more day will, quote, place him between a rock and a hard place in regards to negotiating an NIL deal at Vanderbilt or transferring to another school. Okay, so...
What is happening, yeah?
All of that's well and good. Like, that's all lawyer speak.
Yeah.
Here's what it's really going to boil down to. While the judge did not grant the TRO, the judge did fast-track this. He fast-tracked the lawsuit and moved it up in federal court so that it could be heard. And this is where it becomes interesting. Essentially, what Diego is saying, and this is something I've hypothesized for, I feel like, at least over a year, he's basically saying that your eligibility is a non-compete restriction. And if indeed, all it takes is one court siding with him saying eligibility concerns are non-competes. As long as you're a student in good standing at the university, you're eligible to play because restrictions on, as a non-employee, you can't put restrictions on employees for their right to play. If this happens, we are right back to the ultimate free-for-all because we could be actually seeing unlimited eligibility. My suspicion is Diego doesn't win this one, but I do think what's going to happen is the same pattern that we've seen in a lot of NCAA cases, which is somebody eventually sues, loses. It's a high-profile case, but then people keep suing, and eventually the dam breaks. And so if they cannot actually come up with a structure in this new world, I'm still projecting at some point eligibility. If it's still going to stay in this system as is, we will reach the point where a court will side that eligibility is a non-compete and you can't enforce it. So, college forever.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right.
That's just it's like the same thing. It's just another non-compete.
Right. It's just it's another way, but I don't know. There might be a way. There might be a way. I don't know, but there might be a way. There might be a way.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk Grizzlies Lakers tonight. CJ Hurt joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
CJ Hertz, of course, a Grind City media personality. You can see him every weekday morning on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Also, make sure you check out the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on X at ConRadicalness. All right, CJ, of the next three, so you've got Lakers tonight, Warriors Friday, Nuggets Monday. Did I get the schedule right?
I think so. Yeah. Lakers, Nuggets, Warriors. Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, Nuggets, yeah.
What's a pass-fail, in your opinion, record-wise?
2-2. 2-2 is fine.
Is it sad that I take 1-3?
1-3 is... 1-3 might mean you got some issues against better teams, but 2-2 is, for me, fine. You're talking about a Lakers team that's undefeated at home. I think the last Western Conference team undefeated at home. I'm not really sure. I
think you're right. I'll double check for you.
I know the Cavs are running around undefeated everywhere. So
you are correct. They're the only Western Conference team still remaining undefeated
at home.
Correct.
And then you play a Warriors team that right now looks pretty damn good. And then you throw in there not one but two games against the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic, who it's crazy to think this. It's crazy to say it out loud. Nikola Jokic might be running away with the MVP race already. The first month of the season, the first 11, 12 games of the season. So this is a team. This is a chance for this Grizzlies team to really test their mettle, test their mental as well, and see where they stack up against some of the better teams in that conference.
It looks like we get the news that Marcus Smart's upgraded to questionable. Historically, as we know, is when you get upgraded to questionable, that means you're going to play. We also saw Vince Williams get moved from out to doubtful. That usually means you're, if not coming back the next game, but the next game. So we're going to start to see the Grizzlies start to re-implement some of their injured guys. But let's start first with Marcus. What are you looking for tonight if indeed we do see him?
Just his ability to compete on the defensive side of the ball, to get out there and make life miserable for the opposing team's best perimeter player, which I think right now in this matchup would be Austin Reeves, but also for LeBron. All right, last week when we saw the Grizzlies play LeBron, they were running Jaren at him, and then LeBron would just, hey, Zach, get a screen involving Edie. Jaren's not able to get over those screens.
Yeah.
He gets to switch on Edie, and now he's blowing by Edie. It ended up being a game where they used Brandon Clark a whole lot, because Brandon Clark is agile enough to try and get over those screens and not allow the switches to happen. I think Marcus Smart can do that and defend LeBron at a high level also, and that's what you get from Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart can guard multiple positions, and not just multiple positions, but multiple types of high-level scorers in the NBA. So I'm looking forward to seeing him go at it with LeBron.
Yeah, and like that, because that was the other thing. It's like when he wasn't getting the switches and then Jaren would just stay on him, it's like Jaren was kind of giving some ground a little bit, and I felt like that was part of why LeBron hit so many threes. But I do suspect if we see Marcus tonight, don't you think we're going to see him on a LeBron a decent amount?
Yeah, that would be my assumption. That would be my guess. You would put Marcus on LeBron and then have everybody match up from there. Yeah, you don't go out there and get a defensive player of the year like Marcus Smart and not have him guard somebody like LeBron.
If you had to set an over-under for when we see Ja back, where would you set it?
Oh, wow.
Because, like, on the one hand, when you read the injury, it's like hip dislocation. That makes you think that's bad. And then you read, well, it's week to week. And so you're like, well, maybe it's not that bad. I feel like those are kind of running counter. We didn't see the, hey, he'll be reevaluate in 3 or 4 weeks, whatever. Like, we saw week to week, which implies not quite as serious, but at the same time, it's like, that doesn't sound like something that you just kind of ice and Advil your way back to the floor.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what all goes into that. I will say that Ja Morant will be back as soon as Ja Morant can be back. And that is, we've seen him before have freaky healing type situation. I feel like, what was that, 2 or 3 seasons when it looked like that ankle was done? He was going to be down for a while. It was, I do believe, a high ankle sprain. And then you looked up, and a game later, if not the next game, he's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to play. And he was just out there playing. Ja Morant is tough. He prides himself on being tough and being able to play through pain and discomfort. So if all it is a bit of pain and some discomfort, he'll be out there as soon as he can. I had a football coach explain to us, there's a difference in being hurt
and injured.
You play when you hurt. You play when you're in pain, right? Pain is closer to injured, but you still play when you're in pain. Injured is when you don't play. And Ja Morant can play through the bumps and bruises as well, if not better, than anybody else in the league.
Was Coach Rutledge at NBA when you were there?
Yeah, Coach Rutledge was there. He was begging me to play football. He always beat me in horse, too. I couldn't stand Coach Rutledge.
He was a pro athlete, though. You got to at least, you know, I mean, even if he was old, he was a professional.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Coach Rutledge had that bad car accident down here in Memphis. And that is when he finally convinced me to play, and I show up on the football field, and everybody's like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, Coach Rutledge told me to come out here. And Coach Rutledge wasn't there. And then I looked around and said, you know what? Nah, I'm good. I think I'm done playing football. He hated. He was not hated is strong, but he sports hated me for that. He said, CJ, I finally got you to come out there to play football. And then I go and wake up from my damn coma, and you not out there no more. I said, Coach, I'm sorry, man. I had other stuff happening.
Well, he literally woke up from a coma.
No, I mean, it was like, yeah, wow. He was like lucky to live.
Wow.
Yeah, it was off of Sam Cooper.
Yeah.
CJ, was your heart hurt or injured when you heard the news about the 901 FC leaving?
Oh, injured. Injured.
Oh, it was an injury.
You're
injured.
Yes, it's an injury. That sucks, man. They had so much momentum going pre-COVID, and then COVID came, and it felt like sucked some of that energy straight up out of what was going on down there. And I hate it. I wish more money could have been given to the city of Memphis for these sports teams, and more money allocated then for 901 FC to be able to get a legitimate soccer field and not playing soccer on a baseball field. The conversion, the money it takes to convert AutoZone Park from a baseball field to a soccer field, that's just a lot to have to ask a minor league soccer club to do game in, game out. I understand why they're leaving. I hate that they are leaving. I wish there was something more we could have done to keep them here.
Yeah, so J.R. Moore, who will guest host for us, he was DMing me, or he was responding on Twitter. So he and his family go a lot, and his whole point was, I watch these games on ESPN Plus, the road games. He's like, the idea that having to build the stadium that 901 FC released, like, that was never possible. He's like, half these things just look like converted high school stadiums and whatnot. He's like, how seriously did they really consider and try to find another venue? And I think that's a reasonable point. I get the sense that the league heard Santa Barbara and they started thinking, "Ooh, Santa Barbara," and we're headed there.
Yeah, that some of that might be true. I do wonder, though, that Memphis is here. The University of Memphis is here. They've got a soccer stadium.
Yeah.
I wonder why that wasn't decided on. Hey, we'll just go out there and play there. Christian Brothers has a pretty good soccer field. I do believe, if I remember correctly, why not decide, hey, we'll just go play our games out there. I think part of it from 901 FC standpoint is wanting to be where the people are. Shout out to Ariel and the Little Mermaid, man. They wanted to be downtown. It was something fun and special. I don't know if anybody got to do it. I don't know if either one of you got to do it, but it's some fun walking with that mafia from Brass Door to AutoZone Park. And
what was that experience like? Did you walk with the Bluff City Mafia to the games?
No, but I hear it was special.
We saw the videos online.
I saw the videos. And that's part of it. But did you ever go, CJ? Did you ever make it up?
I went to I would go to, because I try to get to at least one of everything going on in the city, right? So try and get to one Tigers basketball game, at least one Grizzlies game.
Oh,
one
really? Okay. When are you coming to 901 Wrestling?
I need to get to 901 Wrestling, Kevin.
Coming up November 24th. We haven't seen you there, CJ.
I know it. I'm trying. I've gone to 3 or 4 901 FC matches, and it's been fun every single time I've gone, man.
And yeah, but it's sad. But what would you feel like if the Redbirds left, because they threatened us today, CJ?
Yes, hey. We found out it's a privilege to have the Redbirds.
As somebody who spent a lot of time in cities that didn't have this level of minor league baseball, it kind of is, man. I'd hate it for the Redbirds to leave. Well, and I grew up in Clarksville. We had the Clarksville Coyotes, mm-hmm. and I think that was like double A. It might have been single A. So, like, that's having teams like this is a privilege. Now, I'm not sure why the Redbirds want to leave this city, and hell, if that's what they wanted to do, why not do that and then just gift AutoZone Park to the 901 FC so that we don't have to deal with both of them leaving? But I do find it anytime these teams who have ingrained themselves and become a part of the fabric of a city leave, I do think it's kind of sad. And the Redbirds, that's a Memphis summer tradition, man. You get out there to AutoZone Park at least once a year for something, just to hang out and enjoy some baseball.
I guess what complicates it for me is, now that you have essentially a private equity firm owning it, and they're telling us, like, hey, you're pay up or else, it's like, how much money you guys invested? Because all I've seen you do is just cut jobs, get rid of people, and cut spending and whatnot. It's like there's kind of this element of like it also goes to show like why I'm so vehemently opposed to like having private equity enter into college sports and whatnot. It's like, this is what happens, man. These firms come in, they cut staff, they cut money, and eventually like they're just going to try and sell the asset for whatever it's worth. They're going to make money off of it as long as possible, but it's not a better product. They don't make any product better.
Wait, are you saying that private equity get into college sports, and we'll just, I don't know, we'll take Memphis as an example, and they'll look around and say, you know what, University of Memphis, it's time to move. And they just up and move the University of Memphis?
Well, they won't up and move the university, but you know what they'll do? So they won't invest in, like...
I hope they move us to the Pac-12.
They won't invest... Yeah, they
that
won't
might
invest
be how
in
Memphis gets to the Pac-12.
Well, they won't invest in the school. What they'll do is they'll invest in a league, and then... they'll look at it all of a sudden, hey, those TV ratings for, let's just say, Colorado
South
State.
Carolina, Kentucky.
Yeah. Okay, you're gone. You're not part of the league anymore.
Hey.
We're not making any money off you.
Right, cutting out
correct.
The lower that's, tier. But for basketball,
that's where we're moving in college football.
I think...
Where they step in and say, hey,
there's going to be some, like, that's going to be the thing, because I got driven insane. Everyone wanted to fire their jokes off when the Big 12 said that they were selling the naming rights to the league, you know, whatever, yeah. Southwest Big 12 or whatever it was going to be. The real part of the story was that they were actively exploring private equity. And to me, it's like, no one, like, it's always been used as a threat. And the Big 10 and the SEC have been adamant that they don't want that. But it's going to start to become a point where it's like, well, if one league does it, like, then eventually everyone's going to go, well, you're not doing it. You're losing out on money opportunities, and off we go.
Yep. So Ohio State gets to be on Big Noon Kickoff every single week because they drive the ratings, and people come to watch Ohio State play. You know who's not on there a whole lot? Northwestern. Guess what, Northwestern? You got to go. You can't kick it with us no more. You're not making us enough money, right? Like, that's, I feel like
you're,
that's
your little you're charter membership of that piece of paper. Like, someone's going to get full Cersei and just be like, rip up the paper. That was what you had, a piece of paper?
Get out. It doesn't matter anymore. We don't value you. We don't need you. We need money. Get out of here. And I fear We are closer to that happening. We are closer to the power conferences kicking teams out than we are them letting teams in college sports. And it's due in part to the private equity money coming in that will, I think, start coming in, because I've never seen a conference or a university turn money down. That is not what they built to do.
All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, y'all, holla.
That is C.J. Hurd.
It was a privilege.
It was a privilege indeed. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Tell Your Story, we got to go to Bears wide receiver DJ Moore. After the Bears fired offensive coordinator Shane Waldron on Tuesday, a report indicated that the players on the team went to head coach Matt Eberflus and general manager Ryan Poles to lob for Waldron's ouster. However, DJ Moore was asked about this at practice and said, quote, "That was shocking. I don't think anybody really asked for him to be gone. We expressed our frustration, but to never have someone's livelihood taken away." I kind of like that. I don't think anybody really asked. He also doesn't say that nobody demanded.
Tell your story.
That is, don't tell these story. Tell your story. Want to thank C.J. Hurd for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.